Chevron and Texaco are disappearing from airports in 27 states. The Flight Attendants Union comments on the Continental United merger. And a round-the-world record attempt is stopped for now. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, May 6th, 2010. Chevron says it's pulling out of marketing its general aviation fuel products in 27 states in the U.S. Responding to a request for clarification of rumors in the market, Chevron General Aviation General Manager Keith Sawyer told ANN, quote, "We are aligning our aviation marketing assets with our manufacturing system to focus on the areas where our supply reliability is strongest," unquote. Translation, the Chevron and Texaco brands will disappear in areas beyond reach of distribution of the company's own refineries. The company stresses that consumers will see no impact on product supply, but at least one analyst predicts soaring fuel prices. Get more detail in the text version of this story, dated May 5th, at aero-news.net. The union representing United Airlines flight attendants has weighed in on the proposed merger with Continental. In a thinly veiled rattle of the saber, Greg Davidovich, AFA-CWA president at United, warned, quote, "Integration of in-flight operations could take years to complete, and it will not occur at all unless we can support the deal with the protection of our jobs and improvement of our careers up front," unquote. Speaking at the union's annual board meeting, Patricia Friend, AFA-CWA International President, made what could have been a reference to the merged carrier's ranking as the world's largest airline. Quote, "The largest flight attendant union in the world will see to it that United Airlines flight attendants get a fair contract before any merger is consummated," unquote. The airlines still hope to get the deal through regulators by the end of this calendar year. Norman Surplus, the Irish energy executive who decided to fly a light sport gyroplane around the world to celebrate his victory over colon cancer, left Ireland March 22nd and has spent the time since impressing veteran ferry pilots with his success in the face of six-hour water crossings, language barriers, and the extortion that passes for landing fees in some parts of the world. Last Saturday, however, in Thailand, Norm got himself into a spot even his turbocharger couldn't get him out of. In a text message, he relates, quote, "A combination of high air temperature, heavy aircraft, and variable crosswind resulted in a poor climbout by the aircraft on takeoff. Obstacle avoidance resulted in a forced ditching into a shallow lake. Thankfully, I was not injured, and the aircraft is now being assessed for possible repair," unquote. That shallow lake was adjacent to Thailand's Nong Phu airfield, and what happened next is downright inspiring. Norm reports the local flying club quickly set about salvaging both the aircraft and his belongings. From yesterday's blog, quote, "As I literally sat with my head in my hands trying to come to terms with what had just happened, about 20 people quickly set about recovering the gyro. There followed a scene, when I occasionally looked up from my chair, of fantastic uplifting teamwork. The whole contents of the aircraft had been exploded across the floor of the hangar on large tarpaulin sheets, every item carefully washed to remove the lake silt and rinsed with clean water and laid out to dry in the intense afternoon heat. All this done spontaneously and with such drive and purpose. The aircraft, too, received the same treatment, recovered, unloaded into hangar, engine drained of water, and restarted barely 2 hours after the incident," unquote. Norm is not certain that the aircraft, which is a bright yellow MT-03 gyro with a Rotax 914, can be flown again, but he is hopeful. The manufacturer's use of stainless steel for the structural frame has been controversial in some engineering circles, but in this case, it may turn out to be a great choice in hindsight. But best of all, experiences like the one with the Thai Flying Club will provide an encouraging contrast to the days lost to Egyptian bureaucrats and the $500 landing fee at Riyadh. Up next on ANN, NTSB wraps the Flight 1549 case with blame on more than just the geese. DOT will let Delta and U.S. Airways swap slots. And two CTLS pilots take on the world. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for May 6th. I'm Paul Plack. The U.S. National Transportation Safety Board ended a public meeting with release of its final report on the ditching of U.S. Airways Flight 1549 in the Hudson River in January of last year. The probable cause is predictable, but the board also got in shots at the FAA and the airline industry for a lack of preparation and regulation. Quote, "The probable cause was the ingestion of large birds into each engine, contributing to the fuselage damage and resulting unavailability of the aft slide rafts were, first, the Federal Aviation Administration's approval of ditching certification without determining whether pilots could attain the ditching parameters without engine thrust. Second, the lack of industry flight crew training and guidance on ditching techniques. And third, the captain's resulting difficulty maintaining his intended airspeed on final approach due to the task saturation resulting from the emergency situation," unquote. The A320 used for the flight that day was certified for extended overwater operations, meaning it carried forward slide rafts and other specialized safety gear. The board noted that had that equipment not been on hand, many of the 64 passengers who used those rafts would have instead been plunged directly into the 41-degree waters of the river, and many might have succumbed to cold shock, which can lead to drowning in under 5 minutes. There are 34 recommendations in all to come from the investigation. Get more detail in the text version of this story, dated May 5th, at aero-news.net. The U.S. Department of Transportation has decided to allow Delta Airlines to swap 42 pairs of operation slots at Reagan Washington National Airport to U.S. Airways in exchange for 125 slot pairs at New York LaGuardia, but subject to the condition that the carriers divest themselves of 14 pairs at Reagan and 20 pairs at LaGuardia. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood commented, quote, "This decision will enable the two airlines to carry out their transaction while making sure competition is preserved at both airports," unquote. The slots to be divested would go into a blind auction open to carriers which currently offer little or no service at those airports, with proceeds going to Delta and U.S. Airways. In comments made a few weeks ago, Delta and U.S. Airways had said the divestiture requirement might be a deal killer. On April 30th, the 100th anniversary of the first flight of an airplane in Switzerland, a pair of European pilots departed an airport in Sion, Switzerland, on a carefully designed route around the planet. The two were flying virtually identical flight design CTLS light-sport aircraft as part of a team for the circumnavigation attempt. Yannick Bovier and Francisco Agulo are both Swiss airline pilots. John Gilmore, National Sales Manager for Flight Design USA, says U.S. stops are planned for Miami, Dallas, Las Vegas, and Monterey, California. Quote, "During their week in the USA, currently planned for May 17th through 21st, Flight Design USA is arranging for Bovier and Agulo to meet American CT owners, plus interested media. We believe this immense undertaking shows very well how effective the CTLS can be at flying long distances," unquote. The flight is not unprecedented. In July of 2007, a single CT was flown around the globe west to east by two Indian military pilots to commemorate the 75th anniversary of the Indian Air Force. Still ahead, a Baltimore helicopter pilot sues the police department. St. Augustine renames its airport. And it's GA Appreciation Month in Washington. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, May 6th. I'm Paul Plagg. A pilot who says he was recruited from Arizona to fly helicopters for the Baltimore PD is now suing the department, claiming he was dismissed after writing a report critical of the way the helicopter unit is run. The report was supposed to go to top brass, but the plaintiff, Sam Miller, says it was intercepted by his sergeant. Miller tells the Baltimore Sun he always had above average or excellent fitness reports and won a Medal of Valor in 2004. But 2 years later, he wrote a letter complaining about lax maintenance, absent supervisors, and certification of inexperienced pilots, and out-of-jurisdiction junkets, including an appearance at the school of the unit sergeant's daughter. Miller says he was reassigned to foot patrol with a pay cut, then forced to resign. Miller is seeking $5 million in damages and reinstatement to the force. This helicopter unit is the same one that was involved last year in an incident in which a state legislator requested the helicopter to stage a mock raid on a boat in Baltimore Harbor as part of an elaborate marriage proposal. In Florida, the city of St. Augustine has been known for centuries as a gateway of commerce and economic development. So, the St. Augustine-St. Johns County Airport Authority is seeking to reclaim that heritage by renaming the St. Augustine Airport Northeast Florida Regional. Me neither. Maybe it's declining standards in history education to blame. In any case, Airport Authority Board Chairman Kelly Barrera observes, quote, St. Augustine Airport is often seen as a local airport serving a small community. We are neither, unquote. The change is being made in the hopes it will play a role in economic development and job growth. And to be fair, the city's name isn't completely going away. The new official name will be Northeast Florida Regional Airport at St. Augustine. I have a prediction. Most pilots will keep calling it St. Augustine. Others will call it Northeast Florida Regional. And finally today, May has been proclaimed General Aviation Appreciation Month in the state of Washington. It's made at least the alphabet groups very happy. Selena Shalad, executive director of AOPA's Alliance for Aviation Across America, commented, quote, "We look forward to continuing to work with the governor to highlight the benefits of this vital industry," unquote. National Business Aviation Association President Ed Bolin remarked, quote, "It's great to see Washington join other states in recognizing the value of general aviation to their communities and economies," unquote. AOPA's Craig Fuller, surprise, commented from the perspective of a lobbyist, quote, "This year's spirited discussion on aircraft taxes in Olympia brought home to all of us the importance of grassroots efforts spreading awareness of the value of aviation," unquote. For her part, Governor Christine Gregoire explained her proclamation this way, quote, "General aviation means good jobs, business growth, and access to medical care, disaster relief, law enforcement, and a host of important resources to communities across the state of Washington," unquote. ANN has learned, however, that despite the best efforts of the governor and the alphabet folks, appreciation of general aviation apparently remains a matter of personal choice. A NIMBY in Snohomish County was reportedly spotted shaking his fist at the sky from a lawn chair on May 3rd. So don't consider yourself off the hook for those noise abatement procedures just yet. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Deborah Herzman's comments to attendees at Women in Aviation International. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.